1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm starting a new series entitled The New Norm. The New Norm. And this series was really birthed from a word the Lord dropped in my heart concerning my return to, you know, day-to-day operations here at the church. As we're going into our fourth year of the ministry, we've really reached a new phase of our church. And this is the time where, you know, you first are establishing yourself. Who are you going to be? What is your DNA going to be? But now, you all, it's time to build for the future. And this is the moment where I'm going to look directly in the eyes of every person, whether you're here or whether you're watching at home, and ask for whatever commitment the Lord has asked you to make, live up to that commitment. And I'm going to hold you to what the Lord asked you to do as it relates to this ministry here at the Outlet Community. Here is why. The Outlet was really birthed from a place of, I saw a diversity of gifts. I saw people weren't the same. They were different, but yet they were working together. But what I also saw was a thriving network of families, of individuals who looked after each other. And because of where you are in the world and whatever you're called to do, you make those places better as a result of you being there. But if you could imagine with me hundreds of people with a mindset like that, there's nothing that is impossible for us. The other side of it is when it comes to church and when it comes to having habits of formation, we can't let go all of the traditions that got us to where we've gotten to as a society. There are certain things that need to remain. Now, with those things that are remaining, we need to find a new method in how we do them. But one thing that I believe that is important is that we need a consistent commitment to gathering together. We need a consistent commitment in growing in relationship one with another. And so for the next 3 weeks, starting today, I'm going to give you three different keys. Today is going to be one, next week be another one, and then I'll end on Memorial Day weekend with the third one. I don't want us to lose the good of tradition, which means that we need a return to inviting family and friends either to a church service or into a Bible study or accountability group. Looking after people holistically. Because if we go after everything in our careers, our wealth, our money, our resources, but lose our soul, what have we really gained in the process? The other thing that I'm really asking is, if the Outlet Community Church is your home, then let this be your home, and let's build a beautiful home together. One thing that I've been just real hands-off about, but now I'm kind of changing, is I believe there's a responsibility of as a pastor to cover his flock in prayer. And we're in a world where we have a host of free agents, where they come and go as they please, but accountable to none. And I don't believe you grow that way. And I want you to grow. I want you to develop. And there's something special about a group of people who say, you know what? I don't have to be committed. I want to be committed to this. So let's commit to this together and see what we can do with what God has called us to do. Amen. That's really my heart. And so I'm excited. But today, we're going to do part one. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, to give you a background, Paul is mentoring the young Timothy. And ironically, in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul was telling Timothy, let no man despise your youth. And so I'm thinking Timothy is this young 20-something pastor who's getting started. No, Timothy has a wife, family, and he's 35 years old. I'll tell you all a funny story. So my wife and I, we were out in Midtown, and we were getting lunch, and these two individuals were behind us waiting to order, and they were talking about their pastor. I mean, just dogging them. And so we were like, ooh, I want to hear what people got to say about their pastor, because, you know, I don't get to hear what people say about me. I just, anyway, neither here nor there. So they said, yeah, our pastor, I mean, I like him, but he's just a baby. He's just young. Ooh, girl, how old your pastor? He 45. I'm like, oh, Jesus. 45. Oh, Lord. And so Timothy is 35 and still considered a child. He's looked at as a child. And so, you know, we can substitute age. We can then input skill. Sometimes we find ourselves on jobs that we don't feel qualified for, or we feel like we have to prove ourselves. And so what Paul was telling Timothy is, don't think about the factors that you're considering limiting you. I want you to consider being the example with your life. And so sometimes we disqualify ourselves because we say, I don't have the right money. I don't have the right opportunity. I don't have the right network. I don't have the right connections. And Paul is telling us, before we read what we're going to read, it's not about the money, the opportunity, and the connections. The greater good is about your character. And that's what these next 3 weeks are going to be about, is your character. Who are you? As we're looking at bringing on, because there are certain leadership gaps that we have in our ministry currently. And so there are more leaders that we need to bring up, more things we need to do, things we need to retrofit, et cetera. And as I was talking with just one of my mentors, they said, Vince, when you're looking at bringing individuals on, you first start off accepting just anything. Like, I'm just so glad. I just appreciate you helping out. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But if you want to go to the next level, you then have to institute standards. You then have to have expectations. You then need to be clear because, and this is, I'm just speaking out of my overflow to some business owners. You have an option of either being mom and pop the rest of your life, or you have the opportunity to be excellent. And it's all about your expectations and your standards that you not only set for yourself and for others. And so they said, you need to have a rubric whereby you make decisions based off of who holds what position. And so she said, what are some of your values? When I'm looking at leaders, I'm looking for character, which is huge. Because character is what anchors you long after the motivation is gone. Everybody say they're willing to do whatever initially. That's called the honeymoon phase. But when you get slapped and get some adversity or things don't go a certain way, or I ask you to do something you want to do, character is what helps you keep it all together when you don't want to. Then there's competency, because there are a whole bunch of good people in the world. I mean, good people, but they just don't know what they're doing, baby. And so you need people with competency. They need to have the necessary acumen, because high capacity leaders will only serve someone of a lower capacity for so long before they find something else to do with their time, because their time, not their money, is their greatest asset. And so I'm looking for high competency in certain areas. And so I use a rubric now that, what if they weren't working for the church, would they still work in that same job and be paid for it? And if the answer is no, then maybe we need to make some adjustments where we are. So there's character, there's competency. Then the final one is chemistry. How well do they work with a team? So proof positive of the direction that we have been building toward at the outlet is that when I, the principal leader of the church, was away, the church kept going, because the church isn't built off of a person. It's built off of a team and a culture. And so there are people who work well by themselves. But if you're going to build something great, you need to find people that work well as a team and don't mind what role they play. You know, the first day Ash and I got home with Asher, I realized immediately our marriage dynamic shifted just like that. I mean, it was different. I mean, it was different. Good different. Lovely different. Lovely wonderful. I love you. But it was different. Different. And I could tell by her responses, and she could tell by my responses, that if we keep, y'all know what it's like, if you keep pushing that direction, it's not going to end well. And I had a reminder in my head when we were going back and forth on what she did to bring me that son, and I shut all the way up and said, let me reassess some things. And we made a decision in that moment that we're not trying to be the best parents ever. We're trying to be the best team ever. So regardless of the role or the assignment, if it's going to help Team Thomas go forward, I'm willing to do whatever. I'm so proud of myself. I've been cleaning dishes. I've been putting clothes in the washing machine. I've been proactive. My wife ain't had to ask me to listen, because we're a team. And if people don't know how to work with a group of people, they can't be in high leadership, because they will poison your culture. Poison your culture. And you've got to be willing to get rid of cancer and not keep cancer around because you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You're not worth 3 bags of salt if you realize something is destroying what God has called you to build and you don't do something about it. Now, let me tell you something about the outlet. This is a beautiful, beautiful ministry. I have been praying for this ministry my whole life. And I just realized I'd be doggone to be passive about what God has called us to do. Amen. And you need to adopt the same thing about your life, your marriage. You've been praying for the stuff you walk in. I'd be doggone if I just let somebody mess it up who ain't put the sweat equity in that you put in. Listen, let me tell you what makes me so relaxed as a pastor in this church. If you want these problems, you can have them. I'll go find something else to build and to do. Listen. That's the thing with my wife and I. Why are we so chill? Like we I'm not checking for her. She's not checking for me. She was at Kroger one time. This is back when she had a customized car plate. And my wife, fine. I'm just gonna tell y'all right now, girl looked good. And she was at the grocery store, and she pulled up to the parking space, and a guy pulled up next to her when I was on the phone, and he said, "Hey, how you doing, Miss Volt, Mrs. VLT, Vincent Leroy Thomas? Yeah, Miss Volt. It is what it is. Holla at her if you want to. If she decides that she want to go, she expensive. Listen, I'm giving her all I got." I ain't worried. I'm giving everything I got. I'm not worried. Bet you bring. Check. There we go. Yeah, I'm out on the battery. So, I got that reverb. Well, I was about to tune up. Like, y'all don't push me out here. I feel I'm invincible. All right, so that was my introduction. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I ain't preached in 4 weeks. Y'all in trouble. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through prophecy spoken over you when the elders of their church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into the task so that everyone will see your progress. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress." I've got a small thing to throw out. You don't have to post your working out. Because everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. As I was reading the scripture, I thought about Malcolm Gladwell, who was the author of the book Outliers. And he built upon a work that began over 40 years ago in the American scientists and with American scientists Herbert Simon and William Chase. The two of them drew upon a very famous conclusion in the study of what it takes to be an expert at something. They said there are no instant experts, and they were evaluating chess. And they said, certainly, there are no instant masters or grandmasters. They said it takes a person on average 10,000 hours of excellent preparation to be considered the expert in a particular field or subject matter expert in a particular area. And this 10,000 hour research reminds us that the closer psychologists look at the careers of the gifted, the smaller the role innate talent seems to play, and the bigger role preparation seems to play. So the title of this first part of the new norm is 10,000 hours, but the focus today is a commitment to excellent preparation. Someone say or type in excellent preparation. Excellent preparation. Not just prep, but excellent prep. Giving your all when it seems like it's inconsequential. Giving your all when it seems like you're not going anywhere. But the purpose of giving your all, even when it seems like it's not going anywhere, is that each and every time you're progressing to highlight the magnitude of the gift that is within you. So all of us have a gift. And that gift cannot be neglected. But in preparation, I want us to understand that preparation is never wasted time. Preparation is never wasted time. The things that God, and I want to encourage you to keep a journal, and the things that he tells you and things that he's asking you to do. And when he asks you to do something, have a person that you trust that you could say, hold me accountable to what I believe God is saying right here. So that they can check back in and say, how are you progressing in this area? Because what happens a lot of times is we spend a lot of time in prayer with no execution to only have dreams that end up dying. But God wants to introduce a new normal, not the old way of doing things, not the old patterns of behavior, but a new pattern in every aspect of your life. Why should we commit to excellent preparation? Because we do not prepare so that everything can go according to plan. I want y'all to hear that. We don't prepare so everything can go according to plan. I believe that's one of the biggest lessons in these last 4 years. There was a plan that I had, and then there's a plan that God has. And more times than not, my plan is not his plan. Yet my expectations are on my plan and not his plan. And sometimes we believe when things aren't going according to plan, we should stop the very good that we're doing. But we don't prepare so that everything can go according to plan. We should prepare, however, with the expectations that things will not go according to the way we originally believed. So you're doing your preparation expecting life to not turn out like you think. Ooh, that's grown right there. That's grown, because normally in church we say, now if you do what you're supposed to do, things are going, and y'all have lived a little life to see none of that has happened. None of that has happened. None of that has happened. My wife and I went to all those birthing classes, read all those blogs. I became a certified doctor through WebMD. I mean, nothing went according to plan. However, the statement actually came from realizing that after all those classes, nothing happened like we thought. You don't prepare for things to go the way you think, but you prepare so that you have options in the event life doesn't give you any. Excellent preparation is about giving yourself options in the event life doesn't give you any. And so I'm talking to every person in every season of life, because as I was praying for you, I saw individuals who are breaking onto the scene in their careers. But now I'm actually talking to another segment of individuals who have already broken onto the scene of their career. They have matriculated as high as you could go, but are sensing in their heart there's a change on the horizon, and I don't know what it is. And that scares you, especially, I'm just going to talk where you live. The older you get, the thought of change mortifies you. When you're in your 20s, I quit. I'm going to go do something else. Live with my mom. Forget y'all.
You start having kids, start having real responsibilities. You just can't pick up like that. But in your heart, you're like, something's about to change and I don't know what it is. Y'all are who I'm talking to today. Some of you going into retirement. I know, right? It's coming. And in your 30s, 20s, some of y'all started working at 15, undocumented. Early on, all of that is preparation for when it's time to make the transition. So this is now, it's like, oh boy, I done stepped in my bag, y'all. Like, I really feel like I am here. So this is where we now have to have these tough conversations. I'm concerned about your spirituality or your faith. So we're going to work with that. I'm concerned with your fitness. We're going to work with that. I'm concerned with your finances. We're going to work with that. I'm concerned with your families. We're going to work with that. We got to have some real conversations about what are you preparing for in this next season of your life. And every decision you make today is for that next phase that you don't see down the road. Every decision stair steps on the other. And those four areas are areas that I'm serious about seeing in this church. I want us to thrive in our faith. I want us to thrive in our fitness. I want us to thrive in our finances. And I want you to thrive in the relationships that matter the most. But it starts with excellent preparation today. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, don't neglect the spiritual gift you received. A neglected gift is a byproduct of a cold heart. When you start neglecting, see, everything you have, when we were singing, God, I came here with nothing, but all that you've given me, that means everything you have is a gift. The job you're on right now is a gift. The place you stay right now is a gift. Everything you have that's good in your life is a gift. And we can't take our gifts for granted. But he goes on in verse 15 to then say, throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress, because progress cannot be seen externally until there has been progress, until progress has been made internally. Because loyalty to old patterns of dysfunction, stubbornness, disobedience, communicate our lack of preparedness for what's to come. Ooh, let me say this again. Loyalty to old patterns of dysfunction, however comfortable they are, communicate with your life that you are not prepared for what's next and what's new. It's not until you're willing to give it all to the Lord and say, God, I'm laying this all before you. What do you want to do? That you're going to be willing to walk in everything he has for you. And I'm gonna be real honest. So the thing that I think about on a daily basis now is a more efficient solution for having Sunday worship services. That's my number one prayer every single day. Lord, are we doing the right thing with our current worship setup? And I ask him every day, hoping for something to just some type of answer. And every single time I go to him, he says, yes, this is current. What we're doing right now is what God wants us to do right now. But can I be honest about what's really easier? Going back to King Middle School. That is so much easier. In fact, I said, now, Lord, listen, if you tell me, I promise, in a heartbeat. And the Lord, because we have the things that God is asking us to do, But then we have the things that we're comfortable with. And I began to get preoccupied with what was comfortable. And this week I started back on my gratitude run. So I have a gratitude run in this community where I start at our office and start all the way back to the office. It's 3 miles in a square from the office here and then back. And it's called my gratitude run because when I'm running in this community, it's reminding me of the gift that we get the chance to do ministry in this area. And so on my run, I said, God, all right, it's me again. Are we doing ministry the most efficient way? And he said, absolutely. I said, God, it's expensive over here. He said this, expensive is relative. He said, I am not releasing what's next until you released your old way of thinking. He said, I'm not letting you out of this. Until you come up in your thinking, I'm not letting you go to do something else. And we have been presented with beautiful options of what's next. All were attractive. And if you're always looking for the path of least resistance, you'll go to the option that is given to you. But it might not be God's option. And so during my time off, I prayed and he said, there are some things that I want to do for the outlet that when it happens, everyone will know God is with the outlet. But I called you to this area and you're going to be in this area. And I surrendered. And so every week we're preparing for what God wants us to do. But I want to close with this idea that new norms are forged through timeless principles. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. New norms are forged through timeless principles. So there are some things that we personally have to get solid in. A church should have a pattern for you to take home and be able to utilize inside of your own household. So I'll give you all kind of an insight to how my mornings go, whatever time they start. But when it starts, my mornings take on the flow of an outlet service. So we start off with worship. And then I actually go and I do the confession that we do here today. And then I ask the Lord, either I open up the YouVersion Bible app, we have a link that we all do Bible plans together. I'll either do that, read the Bible in a year, or there'll be something else the Lord wants me to see. That will be the word, and then I'll close in prayer. And so what this does is it creates a level of formation and repetition and structure into your house. Whatever you don't structure, you set up to waste. Everybody tells me all the time, and one thing about my life that has enhanced my life is when you share wisdom with me, I listen to wisdom. That's the easiest thing that I've learned in life. If someone who's gone before me, they do something well, they give me wisdom, they say what they say, if the wisdom comes and I have peace, I do it. I'm not going to try to go against the grain. I do what the wisdom says. And one thing all of you parents have told me is enjoy every day. Because of what? Because they do what? They go fast. Enjoy every day because it goes fast. So what you're telling me is don't waste the day. So my question that since y'all talk to me, are you wasting your days with your children? And it was the best wisdom you all gave. Best wisdom you all gave. So what type of structure do you have in your household? We were created to worship, but screens were created to disciple. So who is discipling who with what? I'm sorry, I should have never had no kid. This changed me as a whole person. I've got to ask these hard questions, y'all. And just like anything, whenever, like, you go to the gym and you get a new trainer, and they have you doing better form, better fitness, and they're actually counting all your reps and making sure you're getting them all in. After you leave that first session with that brand new trainer, how do you feel? Terrible. Sore. Like, Lord, I don't think I should do this anymore. But what happens the longer you stick with it? Yeah. So some of our flesh, our old way of thinking, has had no restraint in any area. And when you first start putting restraints in different areas that you know need some restraints in, you're going to holler. You're going to scream. But you stick with it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, you will begin to see the progress from it. So we got to commit to timeless principles. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. So these are terms of agriculture and architecture for the purpose of cultivation or creating something. So in your life, you are either planting something or you're building something. There's a quote that says, without God, we cannot, but without us, he will not. Verse 10. Paul says, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Why? Whenever we're planting or whenever we're building, we cannot lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Here's why. Verse 12, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire, which means testing, adversity. One thing that happens when we have goals, we underestimate the amount of adversity we'll face in reaching our goals. But when adversity shows up, it will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. When things don't go your way, your immediate response lets you know how much you've built. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flame. So what are these timeless principles? Number one, we need to cultivate inner strength for the demands of today through a thriving prayer life. This is excellent preparation, but you need inner strength for the demands of today. It only comes through a thriving prayer life. If you look at the life of Christ, you will see that he was a person, he was a man devoted to prayer. And so here at the church, we have 31 days of prayer in January, but we also have 31 days of prayer in August. We have weekly prayers that meet every single week on Sunday mornings at 9:30 virtually, which will return on the first week of June. And then in August, we'll return with our Monday morning prayer. Prayer has to be a constant for you. Number two, another timeless principle that requires and will help you have excellent preparation is that we need to focus on building quality relationships that embrace our shortcomings and help us to become resilient in the face of disappointment. This happens through the context of being in close proximity together. During the pandemic, we all thought that we excelled higher than we thought in our people skills until we had to go back around people and realize people are still people. But this is what I'm asking our church. To commit to building strong relationships, but having a door open for new relationships. So churches tend to, when you first start, it kind of opens up, but then after a while, you crystallize and you harden. And so the structures of socialization seem to be forged, so there's no one else that can come in. But I want to just ask you to prayerfully consider about new relationships, different people that you see on a daily basis, different people that you interact with online, that you can start the organic process of developing as a community. There are so many gifts in this room that can complement each other, but unless we get to know one another, we'll not know that the answer to our prayers are sitting in a lot of the same rooms that we're in. Number three, we need to remain hopeful for a better future by living present and in the moment, never losing hope. And this happens by us getting quality rest, and I'll talk about that in 2 weeks on what it means to actually take quality rest. But this is why as a church we have Sabbaths. On purpose, I want us to every day be reminded that God, we came here with nothing but all that you've given us. And we will slow down our lives so that you can produce a new norm that will produce new wine. Let's stand together.